Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Back here at 8 o'clock on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. Look, if you can't go to the game on Friday, if you're not going to a house, there is a place you can go to enjoy that game.
You can go... anywhere you want to go, but you got to go to Johnny's. You went there on Sunday, right? Did you register at Johnny's through December 15th at any Johnny's Tavern where you can scan the QR code to enter for a chance to win a tailgate prize pack and a grand prize of a hosted watch party with a $300 bar tab for you and your friends. Each location is going to have a winner, so don't miss out. Grab your friends, grab a Yingling, and get in on the action only at Johnny's Tavern. In partnership with 96.5 The Fan, your home for football fun and Yingling, you must be 21 to enter.
I know you don't bet as much as Mac and I do because you're more intelligent than we are, but I can give you a three-leg parlay this weekend that I think you could take to the house.
All right.
It may not be a huge money win parlay, but I think it would be plus money.
Okay.
It's three legs.
All right.
Hear me out. I think you should take a, because you can do this on like your best bet on our Instagram page that Kramer helps out with on the Fan 96.5.
Sure.
Three-leg parlay. Mahomes passing touchdown.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
Chiefs money line.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's why. Lynn Dawson has 237 career passing touchdowns for the Chiefs. That is numero uno.
Mm-hmm. So does Mahomes, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're tied.
Okay.
Cool.
So are you following?
Yep.
Tony Gonzalez has 76 touchdowns received
Wait
for the Chiefs.
Wait a second here.
Okay. Travis Kelce has?
76.
Okay.
Trombones.
So this tweet comes from Lonel Marty on Twitter. And he says, Lynn Dawson, 237. Patrick Mahomes, 237. Tony Gonzalez, 76. Travis Kelce, 76. Finishing the tweet out with, witnessing a Mahomes to Kelce touchdown at home against the Raiders to become the number one in both all-time Chiefs categories is chef's kiss, Chiefs kingdom.
Yeah, and it would be fitting to be against the Raiders too, right? Like, that's cool, man, because Len hated the Raiders more than any other team out there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he, you know, got destroyed by the Oakland Raiders year after year after year. Fights broke out. Like, that's back when the rivalry was real, right? Like, when the Raiders were good, the Chiefs were good, they legitimately hated each
Hitting
other.
Darts on the sideline.
Yeah, right? like that was back in the glory days of, you know, this Chiefs-Raiders rivalry. And Tony Gonzalez played in that that era too, with Marty and Vermeil and Carl, and how much they hated, you know, the whatever Raiders they were at the time. And now here we sit with the Chiefs kind of needing to blow out their Jets a little bit, you know, kind of, you know, just destroy an opponent to make everybody feel good, if you will. And what better team to have than a team that doesn't know who its starting quarterback is going to be on Friday, got turned down by Daniel Jones, is sitting at 2-8 and is one of the three worst teams in the NFL. And if the draft were held today, I think they would be picking third overall. What better team to break all those records against than the Las Vegas Raiders and get a big time win on Friday? I really like that three-leg parlay. I think that's a legit one. And is it plus money? I don't know. You have to look at that.
I feel
right?
like I saw Mac on his phone, like he was doing the plugging in of the legs.
Well, you can't put in alt passing touchdowns, so just Chiefs and Travis is plus already. So if you did over 1.5 passing touchdowns from Mahomes, that would make it even more. Right now, just with that, though, it's plus 137. You add the touchdown over 1.5, you're at plus 196.
Okay, plus money. It's good. Yeah.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. That feels like a withdrawal to me over the weekend, right? And then when it feels like a withdrawal, it feels like, oh, my God, what happened? And it's Carolina 2.0 or something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're just taking the Chiefs on the money line, Travis Kelce with an anytime touchdown and Mahomes with one or more touchdowns, I guess you could say a passing touchdown in that game, I think that's a pretty safe bet. I think that feels really good.
Yeah, I mean, so there's something to think about if you're trying to win some money on your Chiefs. Devin McCourtney was on the Chiefs Getting It Right. This is what he had to say.
Before the game, I felt like this was a week where they would fix some things and come out and kind of just steamroll against the Panthers. And good teams sometimes use games like that to get them going, and it just didn't happen. But this team, to me, even when you look at statistics, they define all odds. So as much as we want to say, hey, they look vulnerable, this isn't the style of play, it's right around Thanksgiving, they need to be playing better, none of that matters with this team. And it doesn't guarantee that they're going to go win a third Super Bowl, but I think they're still the most dangerous team, because I think there's a fear that comes into play when you play against Mahomes and Andy Reid, that you know you have to go beat them. You have to go take it from them in the playoffs. They're not going to beat themselves. And I think teams fear that a little bit. So until someone knocks them out, we got to continue to believe in the Chiefs and what they're able to do.
That's Devin McCourtney.
Devin McCourtney, way to come around, buddy.
Yeah.
Way to come around. That didn't take long. It took only 13 weeks.
I mean, it's interesting, 12. Though, in today's show, we're 2 hours and 5 minutes into this show today, right? We've heard from Devin McCourtney. We've heard from Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. We've heard from Kurt Warner. And we've heard from Pat McAfee.
That's
all
right.
Four of those guys played the game. And all four of those guys sound like I do right now, where it's like, well, they won the game. That's all you have to do. Don't worry about anything else. We've got this on lockdown. It seems like the guys that played the game that are in the media now are like saddling up to defend the Chiefs' honor, where in the past it was all about, well, they're winning, but they're not winning by enough, or they're not dominating this opponent, or not dominating that appointment. Now, as we get later into the season, you're starting to realize how much harder it is to win games in the NFL, keep your team focused at this time of the year, and go out and continue to get W's. And it's good to hear from like four guys already that played at a high level. I think McCourty's got a ring, Kelce's got a ring, Warner's got a ring. I don't think McAfee has a ring because he played with the Colts for his entire career, but been around a lot of successful teams. And Peyton Manning. Was he on that 06 team? He may have been.
I don't think so.
I think we'd know about it. I think he'd rock
that
ring.
You think he'd wear that thing?
Yeah, exactly. More often than not.
But I don't want to mistake and misspeak here. If he did win a ring, great. So you got three or four guys that have won Super Bowl championships in this century out here talking about, like, you don't need to be overly concerned that the Chiefs aren't blowing everybody out, because they do what it takes to win. And that's why these close games resonate for me so much more than a blowout, because in a blowout, yeah, you won the game, you don't have to worry about it, right? Your laissez-faire type of attitude. When you get in these close games, you got to figure out how to win. You got to think. You got to use your mind. You got to come up with things. You got to come up with plays. You got to make the right call. You got to make the right play. And they're doing all of that in these tight games, in these close situations. They're showing you they know how to win. And that's why, as I look at it, the only concern I have is, where's Chris Jones been for the last 7 weeks? Other than that, they'll figure this thing out.
Regarding that tweet that we just said, Patrick Mahomes, 276 touchdowns. Next one will pass Lynn Dawson. Travis Kelce, 76 touchdowns. Yep. Next one will pass Tony Gonzalez. Respect the text time, fellas.
Okay.
If the first touchdown pass of the day was Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce and they both set the Chiefs record, who gets the ball?
Ooh.
That's a great one.
Respect
that's
the text.
Very good text.
Well done, 913. Take the day off. Take the holiday off.
Take the holiday. You're done for the week. Let's go around the room. Let's discuss it. Who do you think should get it?
I think Mahomes gets it. And here's why. I think it means more to pass Lynn Dawson than it does to pass Tony Gonzalez because of the importance of the quarterback position. And I don't know if they've had the conversation, but I think Travis Kelce, as mature as he has gotten throughout his career, is like, Pat, this one's for you. I could also see this going another way where it's like the two guys at the table that are brothers and the meal is over and they're fighting over the check. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it.
Yeah.
But the other respect the text is the first touchdown Patrick Mahomes throws will go to blank receiver, and the second one he throws to will be Travis Kelce. Problem solved.
Yeah, because you can see them scripting that to try to do something like that, so they each get, you know, the football. But God, the more I think about it,
somebody says cut it in half.
That's what I was going to say. No, 100% what I was going to say. You really can see these guys cutting that ball in half. They'll have like a hacksaw on the sideline.
Do you go long way? Do you go hamburger or hot dog style?
You would hold the ball like you're ready to kick it, you know, on the tee, you know, and you slice it down the middle.
The seam, the middle. Okay. Yeah. I would have done the other way. Okay.
No, then it falls apart. You down the seam in the middle, it stays intact. You do it the other way, the oblong way. Like if you set it down for an onside kick, it's like the turkey on Christmas Vacation, right? That's how it works. Yeah, you slice it down the seam and you keep it intact. See, that's what I think they're going to do. And don't be surprised if somebody does have a hacksaw on the sideline and they do it right there for show purposes.
I'd love it.
Right? Where they do that. But
just
like
Carson Steele's alligator bite it in half.
Could do that too. Destroy that football. But I think Travis Kelce probably, I don't want to say deserves it more, but I think it's harder for them to score touchdowns, them meaning the wide receivers, tight ends, running backs,
no question,
than it is for a quarterback to throw one. So that's why I would lean a little bit towards Kelce. And he's older. Travis is getting towards the end.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes is in the middle and has an opportunity to set even more records. So we talk. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Mahomes will break more records. The record that Travis is breaking, to me, is more impressive. Both of them are extremely impressive. Mm-hmm. But Tony Gonzalez is maybe the best tight end of all time. I would consider the third greatest at his position ever, Lynn Dawson. I mean, he's not making any of those lists. So I would just say more impressive. It took longer to get there. I think Travis, again, I hate saying the word deserves, like you said, Bob, but
yeah.
I just think it belongs to Kelce more.
Is the Chiefs Mount Rushmore, Lamar Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Lynn Dawson, or is Andy Reid in there somewhere?
Whoa.
Because Tony Gonzalez isn't on your Mount Rushmore. I can say that.
Not anymore.
I can say that kind of
now.
But, like, is it, like, who gets left out? Is it Lamar, the original owner of the franchise? Without him, you're not there?
All right, I'm going to say this, and I know people are going to get mad. I'd leave Lynn Dawson off and put Andy Reid on.
Me too.
I don't think anybody's going to get mad about that. And then the other respect the text of that conversation was had, they said, nobody gets it, you put it in the Chiefs Hall of Fame.
You could do that, too. Or maybe you send it to Canton. Maybe Canton wants something like that.
I like that.
You know?
I like that.
But again, that's a Chiefs record, not a NFL thing. But they do displace for teams and whatnot.
Ooh. And it's like the best connection of all time in the NFL.
I wonder what that parlay is if you do Mahomes touchdowns, Chiefs money line, and Travis Kelce first touchdown score. That'd probably juice up to plus 350. Boy, wouldn't that be a nice little Black Friday Amazon deals. As soon as it hits, you just hit the QR code and you're like, all right, jacket, I'm going to get those shoes. Somebody says, whatever they do, don't chuck it in the crowd.
That'll happen, right? Somebody will throw it in the crowd, and then some slappy will have to go up there and get the ball back and bribe a fan.
My buddy Dakota just said, we left Derek Thomas off the Mount Rushmore in Kansas City.
I know.
That's a tough Mount Rushmore, dude.
I mean, it's okay to leave Derek Thomas off the Mount Rushmore because he doesn't belong on there right now. We're talking about the four greatest people in franchise history. Three of them are on the sidelines, and one of them is the founder.
Whew. That is a tough Mount Rushmore conversation. Which normally we don't do, but it just hit my head randomly like most things do. But normally that's in the garage.
Chiefs money line, Mahomes over 1.5 passing touchdowns because I can't do the alt for just one. And then Kelce first touchdown score that is plus 609.
Wow, that's a huge one right there.
$10 to win $60?
Yep.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Tell you what. Coming up on the other side, more people maybe on the Chiefs bandwagon plus Daniel Jones, Bob's favorite quarterback in the NFL, again in the news. You'll hear that next on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan.
Coming up shortly, we'll get to On the Come, Mac's favorite segment of the week of show that we do here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks for joining us on your holiday week of Thanksgiving. Giving thanks out there, man. I love Thanksgiving. Love Thanksgiving, man. I always get excited to see Danon's plate because it'll be half a can of cranberry sauce on top of everything.
And then smeared with ketchup.
Oh, is that right?
Now, he's a big ketchup, not refrigerated guy.
Oh, warm ketchup?
I mean, think about every restaurant you ever been to. The ketchup's always on the table.
I don't really use it at restaurants. I only like ketchup on like a few things, and it has to be cold. IMO.
Fries, your burger, what else?
So if the ketchup's out on the table, you don't use it?
You're not using it? Mm-mm. Wow.
Yeah, Danon will fight you on that. Ketchup does not need to be refrigerated.
That's fair.
I keep mine in the refrigerator.
I use it for like tater tots, fries, and like I'll put like a little line on a dog, which I know that makes Bob mad, but like just a little. But most of the time my dog is just mustard relish, normally. But you don't eat hot dogs on Thanksgiving. At least most people don't.
Some people may.
As I say, some
people. They got turkey dogs, right?
I know. We've seen some people talk about like their Thanksgivings. They're like, yeah, we just got tired and stressed out with all the like cooking. We just do tacos and leave like a taco bar. I'm like, dude, we do that on Christmas. Like, it's so nice, especially coming from two different households where one is like your traditional ham, all this stuff. And you go to another house, you're like, oh, well, go hang out with Penn Griffey Jr. and then come back inside and, smash it a little, a little taco plate.
I think the whole stereotype of what you need to eat for these holidays, do whatever the hell you want to do, man. If like it's Christmas and you want pizza, go for it. We usually get Chinese on Christmas. So, I mean, do what you want to do.
Yep.
And so, yeah, do you, boo.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids say these days. Mike Vrabel, remember him?
Yes, I do. Who's hiring Mike Vrabel?
I don't know, but this was him on Urban Meyer.
You know, Urban Meyer asked him, do I know you? And Urban Meyer was coaching the Titans. He was coaching the Jaguars. And he actually said the same thing to me. I said, yeah, I'm the head coach for the Titans, and I worked for you for 2 years.
Tough.
Dude, man.
Does that let you know, like, what? Like, I still can't believe Urban Meyer's doing stuff.
It's crazy.
Because I saw him on Colin Cowherd's show. And then I see him on College Game Day. And I'm just like, this guy just like got 9 lives, and he didn't even know that Mike Vrabel was the coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Nah, he had a naked man hitting a bong behind him on ESPN live TV. He kicked a kicker. He didn't know anyone he's worked with or that he's
Are we blaming CTE now on coaches?
I think that's
he was in the bar getting handsy with somebody who wasn't his wife.
How about the fact that Urban Meyer is just a douche and doesn't take the time to learn people's names because he thinks he's better than everybody else? Yeah, can we say that? Is that okay? Because I know people want to attribute this. Oh, maybe he's got something wrong. Or maybe he's just a douchebag and thinks he's better than everybody else and won't remember your names. And that's the one thing. And we talked about Ryan Lefevre yesterday. I'll talk about him again today. Ryan Lefevre is the best at knowing everybody's name in Kauffman Stadium. Every single person, no matter what they do. That shows your character as a person. Urban Meyer's character is dirt.
You can buy dirt.
And then you live with them.
Terrible song.
I like it.
Yeah, you're a Luke Bryan guy, probably.
Yeah, it's true.
Uh-huh. Somebody says on the text line for the 913, they've definitely done chili dogs on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's good.
Sign me up. Yeah.
Why not, right?
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Do whatever the hell you want to do, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, turkey's forced down, our throats at Thanksgiving, and the majority of people eat turkey maybe one time a year, and that's Thanksgiving. Like, do you ever wake up in July and go, you know what I want? I'm going to go make a turkey.
Not unless it's a turkey sandwich from like Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, that's something like the different, right? That's the only way.
And that's traditional style turkey.
No, that's,
Someone says Bob's Mount Rushmore is Smokehouse Barbecue, Park and Go, J Southland Tow, and the J.
Yeah.
Take the day off.
Really good. Well done. Yeah.
Well done.
I love it.
That's great.
Here's how you mix the whole world up that listens to this radio station. Who's your 96.5 The Fan Mount Rushmore?
Us three and Spectre.
Mm.
Bingo.
Okay. I'm going to just sit back and let the text line take it away. I'm kidding. Urban Meyer, man. It's just, I literally see him on these TV shows, and I'm just
kind of let Aaron Hernandez get away with stuff at Florida.
Whoa.
Whoa! Getting dark.
I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, Aaron Hernandez was a pain at Florida, and Urban Meyer looked the other way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Urban Meyer isn't somebody I want my son to go play for.
No.
And he wouldn't be someone I'd want my daughter around either.
No, exactly. No,
he's the worst. Yeah. He sucks.
I think that guy does suck, man. Like, sorry, Herb. Be a better person. Like, not knowing the name of Mike Vrabel, who worked on your staff, I forget who they were.
2 years, bud.
Yeah, like, I forget who they were talking about, and he's like, yeah, I didn't know that guy or whatever. He's like, he played for you, or he was on, like, maybe I'm naive. Are there college football coaches, like the Nick Sabans of the world, that don't know every player on their roster?
Man. I wouldn't be surprised. Who's that guy that's, I guess he's basketball. He does the talk show and he also coaches the basketball team.
Doug Gottlieb?
Yes.
Yeah, he's another douche.
Yeah, but he doesn't know his guys.
It's a basketball team, though. You don't think he knows 15 yeah, you're right. guys?
You're right.
I feel like Doug Peterson probably doesn't know everybody on his team.
In the pros. Mm-hmm. I was talking college. I'm assuming the pros know who these guys are.
Mm. You think Deion knows everybody on Colorado's roster?
There's a great question for you. Do you think Deion cares about anybody else but his sons and Travis Hunter?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
The ones that'll play on Sundays, yeah.
Yeah.
Which there are a few for Colorado.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Who? Yeah, because what, SEC plays all the FCS schools this weekend? It's like terrible.
Yeah. That's what SEC's, yeah.
Oh, Tennessee. Is this the week where the SEC goes and plays William and Mary?
That's it. Yeah. That's what we do, baby.
Yeah.
You can do it, too.
Alabama plays like Alabama A&M.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, Tennessee did it last week, yeah.
See, I also noticed that, like, Missouri used to always play Arkansas on Black Friday. This year, they play them on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't know what the change was in that. Maybe that's somebody can help me out with that.
NFL.
Is that what it is?
TV. Has to be. I mean, that's the answer to every question.
I feel like the better deal is on Friday than it would be on Saturday. Or maybe they, like, to your point, they weren't pulling the numbers.
You have an NFL game on Friday, and so maybe they just decide we don't want to compete with that, so we'll just go to Saturday. Oh, Owen Wilson he was talking about. He went up to Owen Wilson, the actor. That's who it was. I was watching it last night. Whom they were talking about? Owen Wilson and his brother were on the Manning cast last night. They were saying, like, Urban Meyer didn't know them, went up to him in the middle of a game that they were playing, and they go, do I know you? And he's like, yeah, I'm on your team, you know, like, whatever. Wow. And then Vrabel goes, yeah, same thing happened to me. I was coaching the Tennessee Titans, and he's like, who are you?
Okay, coach your division rival.
Do you see the shot on when Vegas played this past weekend? I was watching Red Zone, so I wasn't really like watching that game. But they had a shot of Norv Turner and the offensive coordinator's like little press box.
Oh, God.
Just sitting back, leg crossed, glasses on the edge of his nose. I'm like, this is your savior?
Can we get those cameras any closer to these people in these press boxes, sir. By the way?
Well, the only
like
time
last
ever
night, they showed the coordinator for the Chargers. It was like up his nose.
Yes, Greg Roman.
I mean, the only time that camera's been beneficial was the Ken Dorsey explosion.
That's exactly right.
That was awesome.
That's the only, and then he was gone like the next week.
Yeah.
They're like, that's what's going on in our offensive coordinator's office? Yeah, you're gone.
You're
dude.
Out, man.
Joe Brady, welcome in.
Let's go and look at the offensive coordinator. Like, the camera's right in his face. You're like, it's like I got an eye? Like, what's going on
closer
here?
Camera, coordinator's camera, or the referee camera in the NBA? The foul was on 44 of the offense. It's like, good Lord, why are they
feel
up his
nose? Saliva coming to me,
Yeah, that referee camera is pretty tight. But that, no, the coordinator camera
coordinator's,
is.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's right there.
I mean, there's
those,
not
those
one.
Boxes aren't as big as people
think. No, they're
not. Like, when they show the every day after a game, they show, like, Mitch Holtis and Danan and, like, all those guys in the and Dan Israel in that, like, box.
Mm-hmm.
They're standing like that for a reason because there's really no room to go. And in Arrowhead, it's like a 90-degree step up in those press boxes, so.
We could get the camera, like Bob said, though, at like a downward angle, like instead of looking up his nostrils.
Yeah, every coordinator camera is like right, like that's got to annoy the guy looking at this thing the whole time. You ever call a bad play, blame the camera.
The coordinator camera reminds me of like when I wake up Saturday morning and forget I was sending out like pics of Snapchat and it's on the face thing and I wake up and I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
Salad, Dusty, salad. Mix a few in. Ugh. It's like the fat guy in Missouri and Kansas. He was traveling on 470 and asked the guy at McDonald's, how did I get to 435? And he said, you mix in a few salads.
Oh.
Not great. That used to be a joke about a former coach. I digress. The other thing I saw last night that annoyed me, Chargers fans back.
Dude, I was going to ask you if you saw her.
The plant is back.
Oh, I missed her last night. Oh, they showed her later in the game.
And had, coincidentally, was wearing the same jerseys the Chargers were wearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was clearly a Baltimore crowd last night.
It's always a visitor crowd. Yeah. But that stadium, man, that stadium is so sick.
Looks so cool.
Every time they show that stadium, I'm like, damn. And like my buddy and I were talking about that last night. Like, see, we'll never have a stadium like that in Kansas City because of one reason. Two teams won't share it. Like, it's that massive and that nice because there's, what, two different incomes coming in to support it.
I mean, not really. Kroenke just spent the money himself and built what he wanted. You know,
they have way more money.
Yeah, the money that Kroenke has is insane. Like, all the new stadiums are really nice. Like, Vegas has got that stadium. That's a one-tenant team.
That thing is
awesome. And then MetLife has two teams, and that stadium sucks. And so we'll never have that type of stadium because we're not going to spend $5 billion. Now, we'll spend $3 billion potentially on a new stadium. That's kind of the number that's been floated out there. So if they do end up building new in the state of Kansas, it will look nice. Or you can renovate in Missouri for $1 billion. I just don't see what the point of renovating for $1 billion when you can build new for $3 billion. But that's neither here nor there. But that stadium, you know, that stadium is sick, and it's also just always a visitor's haven. And the Chargers, you had sent a text last night about their uniform having the best uniform closet in the NFL.
Not even close.
And I'm like, who would argue that? You know, and maybe the Lions show up to the party. And
maybe
the Colts.
Philadelphia, because the Kelly Greens hold that much rank.
They do, but I'm not a huge fan of everything else. Like, no matter what the Chargers wear, you're like, great. So last good. Night is arguably their worst uniform combination.
Really? I think it's their best.
Oh, see, they're 0-6.
I like the powder blue. As far as they play. The powder blue with the yellow pants is
that's chef's kiss, brother.
Brioche.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, good like,
that with the white helmet, like, that's... We all did it on Madden when you played with the Chargers and you like alternate uniform. You're like powder blue, yellow pants, white helmet.
Oh,
see you later.
Oh, God. Like that, that to me, like who else comes to the party though? Like the Lions are there because that Honolulu blue and when they mixed in the black and they're special uniforms.
Ravens are decent.
Ravens come to the party as well. They're invited to the party.
Especially with those new ones.
Yep. Yeah. I love the Colts uniforms on Sunday. I don't know what people generally think about. I'm sure people complain because it's new, but that black helmet with the blue, like, great. I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah,
looking.
I said that was sick on Sunday, and then like somebody goes, like, they just look like Duke uniforms. Like, Duke uniforms are sick, too.
I mean, okay, great. Yeah. I mean, they're good-looking uniforms. And maybe...
Seattle get any votes?
I like the highlighter ones.
Really?
But yeah.
Oh, I can't stand them.
They're a little loud.
The Bengals frosty whites...
Very good.
Houston's, can knock on
Houston's
the door.
Got a good little rapport with that like shiny red and all like the navy with the red. That's decent.
Yeah. Green Bay's whites. We like those this year.
Yeah.
Playoff picture as of right now, Chiefs 1 seed in the AFC. Your 5-4 matchup would be Baltimore and Houston. Mm-hmm. So a rematch. Your 6-3 matchup would be the Chargers and the Steelers. And then your 7-2 is Bo Nix versus Josh Allen.
Yeah. Have you seen the company Mr. Nix is keeping these days?
Mm.
Why do you like drop your head every time I mention Bo Nix, Mac?
Bo Nix is good.
Every time. It's like, man. So this comes from CBS Sports. Yep. QBs with 20 or more total touchdowns and two or fewer turnovers in a 10-game span within a season.
That's so many numbers.
Bo Nix enters the conversation with Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers. Those are the only four quarterbacks
put him in the Hall of Fame
in the last 10 years to have 20 or more touchdowns and two or fewer turnovers in a 10-game span within a season.
Would you rather have Justin Herbert for the next 5 years or Bo Nix?
Bo Nix.
That's, come on, Bob.
Just not a fan.
You're not trolling me?
No.
I'm
just not a fan of Justin Herbert. I'm just not. Like, it just hasn't grabbed me. I was never a fan of the guy with New York. Ask Josh. He would talk about, you're forgetting that guy in Wisconsin. I'm like, doesn't do it for me. And I think I was right, ultimately, on Rodgers. And I'll pay the $20.
Oh, Bob.
No problem paying the $20 on that one.
Bob,
I don't care.
You did so well with Wisconsin.
I know. I did. But just to let people know, it wasn't Favre.
Hey, it's the holidays. We'll take it.
Yeah, right? I ended up being right on that guy. Took a long time to get there, but I ended up right on that guy. I just don't know what it is about Justin Herbert. He'll never be the guy that I look at and say, I'm ready to build a franchise around. I don't care. Harbaugh can call him the toughest quarterback since him to play in the game and all that kind of stuff. I guess for me, honest to God, I can't get past them blowing that huge lead at Jacksonville. Then they had an opportunity again last night. Like, if you're going to be one of these special quarterbacks, You got to win that game last night. That's a big game for you. Go win that game.
Now, if he beats your guy Tomlin in the playoffs, that would change your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I'd start to consider him a little bit more, but like I don't know. Just he's never going to be one I consider.
He didn't drop those passes last night that could have altered the game.
You know, it's like
he put them where they need to be.
Go get ice cream. There's always like one flavor you're never going to like sherbet. Who's getting that? Like for me, like Justin Herbert's the sherbet. I'm just like, man, I'm never Herbert's going to consider. Yeah, and he has his first name on the back of his jersey too, Herbert. What other quarterback in the NFL has their first name on the back of the jersey?
Mahomes.
That's his last name.
Nobody's calling him Patrick.
Everybody does. His mom calls him Patrick. That's why we call him Patrick, right?
Mahomes.
Not Pat. But I don't know. Just, you know, different folks for different strokes or whatever they say. Like, that he's just never going to be the guy. He's never going to be that guy for me.
That's the only time Patrick Mahomes ever retweeted me. Because everybody kept calling him Pat and Patrick on his day that he was announced as a starter. I said, hold on real quick. I was like, what is it? Pat or Patrick? He's like, well, my dad's name's Pat. My name's Patrick. I said, okay, so Patrick.
There it is.
Eruption. On the come.
On the come.
Might be obvious, my on the come this week is none other than Noah Gray. Boys, I don't know if you knew this or not, but back-to-back weeks, Noah Gray has 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, really good.
Are we witnessing maybe a slight change of the guard or a torch being passed from 187 to 183?
And maybe this is semantics. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that, but we're definitely seeing the future.
Okay. So you're okay with Noah Gray as the tight end, unless there's one that just is like a Brock Bowers that falls to you.
Yeah. But,
or a Sam LaPorta, but you take FAU.
Yeah. Right.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. But no, I think that's fair. I think he's playing really good football. They extended him and paid him for a reason when we all went, why?
Because I thought Derek Johnson made a good point on Monday. He said, if you notice, Noah Gray's running the over, Kelsey's running the under, which the Chiefs know what they're doing. Everyone's biting on 87. It's like, we'll just keep going to the well at 83 until you guys are like, hey, you know what? Like, all right, then what happens? Single, single. And it's like Patrick Mahomes licks his chops and goes, all right, here we go.
I think we saw a good glimpse of the future with Worthy and Gray both involved this past weekend.
Okay. I agree.
So that's I kind of like what I see out of those guys. You know, they don't have to be the guys right now, but boy, they're starting to make an impact.
Somebody brings up a text that says, is it true that Travis Kelce has never had back-to-back multi-touchdown games? I don't know that off the top of my head. He's played too many years.
I would assume that's true.
I don't know.
But yeah, Noah Gray, back-to-back weeks, 2 touchdowns each. That's my on the come.
I love it.
Me? I'm going Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Because he's about to walk into a playoff scenario, baby.
Could you imagine if he got on the Chiefs roster, got a ring, and then went to the Giants like Kadarius Toney did?
Oh, God, no. Yeah. And then you end up in Cleveland, so be careful. But Daniel Jones is going to have his pick, man. Think about it. Again, the NFL quarterback problem that we have where Daniel Jones is able to pick from one of 10 teams and already told the Raiders no.
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
I mean, it is unbelievable when you look at it and think about it. The NFL has a major quarterback problem when Daniel Jones is a coveted commodity in the next 5 hours or so. We'll find out where he goes probably.
Daniel Jones on the come. Never thought I'd hear that in my life.
That is a shocker. Love it though. I'm on the same wavelength just with quarterbacks. I'm going young QBs are on the come right now. This has been my soapbox all season. The way we talk about quarterbacks.
Bryce Young did it to you, didn't he?
Hey, I've been on this Anthony Richardson. I've been on this, hey, you guys need to chill on Caleb Williams. And I think I go about it the other way, too. I think people are going to crown.
None of those quarterbacks won, though.
I think people are going to crown. Yeah, that's
I can feel him ready to shoot that shot.
It's
mile away.
It's irrelevant to what I'm talking about, though. As far as quarterback play is concerned, the last result, they played really, really well. Caleb did. Anthony was fine. The last 2 weeks have been really good. The overall, though, and I would say that for it's too quick to say, hey, they're screwed. And I would say the other end, too. Bo Nix. We're going to crown him this whole offseason, not me. Everyone's going to crown him, say he's the next GOAT. He's going to win the division, all these things. It's too quick. Just same thing we did with CJ Stroud. It's too quick. Just have some patience. Young QBs, though, on the come. A lot of them are playing really well.
Jaden Daniels has lost 3 in a row. Anthony Richardson lost
Bryce he's played Young really well these past 2 weeks. Bryce Young had his best game he's ever had. You're going to say he's not on the come?
I mean, one game.
He's won two out of his last three. He played.
The Giants. You know,
I mean, Bob, I mean, you keep moving the goalposts, man. He played really well against what was we crowned as the best defense for 10 straight weeks.
I don't care how well you play. You got to win the games. That's ultimately what matters. It doesn't. Stats are for losers. Bill Belichick said
it. I didn't name one stat.
No, but I'm saying, like, you got to win games. The only way, in my opinion, you take that next step as a quarterback is winning.
Bryce Young.
That's fair, 21. But that doesn't mean they're not on the come.
Bryce Young, 21 to 35, 263 and a touchdown. Good game, no interceptions.
Nice game.
Best game he's ever had.
Anthony Richardson against Detroit, the best team in the NFC. 11 for 28, 172.
That's not good. 11 for 28?
10 for 61 rushing.
Why do you think he played well? 11 for 28?
Well, so, Bob, I'm confused because you say no numbers, and then you're going to use the numbers for your advantage. But they don't tell the whole story, right?
He had 11 completions and 28 attempts.
Yeah, but there were five drops in that game at least that I'm just remembering off the top of my head, and there were multiple. Yeah, I just think you can't say, hey, don't look at the numbers and then use the numbers against it.
Well, I'm looking at, like, basic numbers that matter. Completion percentage, touchdowns versus interceptions, wins and losses. We have gotten, as a sports society, way too bogged down in stuff that doesn't matter. Mm. At the end of the day, batting average, RBIs, home runs.
Wins are not a QB stat, man. That's all I'm going to say.
But that's how we judge quarterbacks,
though. That's how you judge quarterbacks.
I think
that's
how the league judges quarterbacks, though. I want a guy that's going to win a game for me. Like, I want to know when there's 2 minutes to go that I can count on this guy to lead a drive. And there's not many of those in the NFL. And quite honestly, if you don't have that guy, find the next guy. Keep recycling until you find that guy that you know that has that killer instinct, that has that it factor. I want to know that when I go out there, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff in that category, maybe Justin Herbert. I don't know if he's in that category quite yet. There's not a lot of these guys that you know can actually win a game for you. And that's what I personally need out of my quarterback. I don't need anything else. Can that guy win a game for me or not?
Yeah, my point is, I don't think you know yet. That is my point. You do not know that answer with Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young.
Caleb Williams this weekend, 32 of 47, 342 touchdowns, no interceptions.
He was incredible this weekend.
His rating was 103.1. He also had, I think, 30-some yards rushing, 33.
The best QBR of the draft class of last year, the top four quarterbacks, the best QBR for the last month, Will Levis on the come.
What?
Will Levis. Yep. Better than C.J. Stroud, better than Bryce Young, better than the third name that I'm forgetting.
Is Will Levis better than anybody's allowing him to be because he eats mayonnaise? And be be honest, because I saw a picture of him from one of our stations down in Houston, you know, that mayonnaise commercial where he's got the mayonnaise jars supporting his legs, and the caption was, "We let this guy beat us?" If he didn't eat mayonnaise, would people think Will Levis is a good quarterback?
I love it,
and I'm thankful that Mac's not wearing sweatpants today after that segment because he was ready to go, if you know what I mean. That was On the Come here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, the other side, we take a little break from sports. What's a song that gives you chills? 913-586-7965. I know a lot of you are going to listen to Christmas music. I know a lot of you are going to have your Thanksgiving stuff that you do. But what's the song out there that gives you the chills? Here on 96.5 The Fan, again, 913-586-7965. Chills, feels, and songs here on the other side of Fesco and Dusty.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Let it be, baby. We asked the question on the other side, what is a song that just no matter what, when you hear it, gives you the chills? This could mean anything.
Yeah, anything. Absolutely. Anything you want. Yeah.
My dad, Mr. Kurt, he texted me and he said, theme from The Exorcist.
Oh, wow.
More than 50 years later, it still freezes my blood.
Oh, my goodness. You took it that direction. Yeah. I thought you'd go bubbles up, my man. I don't know. Wow.
Thanks for listening, Mr. Kurt.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have one because you brought this topic up.
Yeah.
I assume this is garage time.
I was actually out walking.
Oh, and, nice. And something hit?
You know, Adele popped on, right? Oh. And, you know, when we were young by Adele. And she's also an artist. And this is really, it has nothing to do. Like, she did her last concert over the weekend. Done.
What? She's done?
Done. She did her last concert at her Vegas residency. Wow. Done.
And she's not going to tour anymore?
Done. Doesn't know if she's ever going to perform again.
Damn it.
Yeah, done. Which means in 2 years she'll have a tour
exactly.
because everybody's really paying money. Right?
In 2 years she'll do a stadium tour and make millions.
Millions, right. But as of now, you know, as of now, she's done. She's going to go be a mom, and she doesn't know when she's going to do her thing again. And I'm like, ah.
Well, that's cool.
Okay, that's great. You know, do your thing and whatnot, and your music's still recorded. And then I saw this tweet, and it was like, what song always gives you the chills no matter how many times you listen to it? And then the song We Were Young came on by Adele, and I'm like, man, every time I hear this song, I like it more and more, and I just really, really, really like this song. I was never a big fan of Adele when she first hit the scene. I was just like, meh, it sounds like every song is like about death, you know, it just that tone. And then the older I got, the more I appreciated her. And the more, like, when I hear the song When We Were Young, I'm just like, gosh, I wish this song would never end. And so that's kind of where I am on that one. Where are you guys at?
From the text line, they said, Let It Be from the Beatles. Mm-hmm. The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald from 323. I can honestly say I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what Gordon that is. Lightfoot, man.
Mm. From the 785, In the Air Tonight.
That's a good one.
Another one from the 913. My song is In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins, especially when it's that drum part. Yep. Quiet, quiet. It's my favorite part. All My Life by KC and JoJo from the 785.
Ooh, good one.
Are you aware of that song?
Maybe if I heard it.
All my life, I prayed for someone like you.
I don't think so.
And I know. Something like that.
That's the one that's like, closer to me like my brother, close to me just like my father, close to me just like my sister.
Okay. All my life.
And then one of those guys exposed himself and their careers were over.
Oh they did?
You know, a day of ruin. I will say that I have three, and there's all for different reasonings.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard No Woman, No Cry by Bob Marley.
Wow. Okay.
Just because, like, it's just, I can, like, picture myself in that song. The guitar solo is one of the most underrated guitar solos of all time in that song. Plus the live version, when you see the video of him doing that live and everybody's just, like, captivated in that song. Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's Song by Blink-182. It was the first time someone asked me, like, do you know what that song means? I was on my way to church. We used to have this thing called Logos on Wednesdays, where it was, like, activity building and all that sort of thing. And I would listen to my headset, which is kind of ironic that I'm listening to Blink-182 on the way to church. And the lady was like, what are you listening to? And I was like, oh, it's a song called Adam's Song. She goes, you know that song's about teenage suicide. And I was like, I had no idea.
There's another one about, never mind. I can't remember the name
of
the song.
But that song gives me chills because the narrative of Blink-182, at least at this time, was like fart jokes, inappropriateness, all this stuff. And then here's these three guys, these California guys out of nowhere that put this song up about a guy that, you know, was a fan of theirs that ended up taking his own life. And it's like, you listen to the song and all of a sudden you're like, oh.
Kind of like Eminem's okay. Stan a little bit.
I guess, but yeah, that's a really dark song.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Bluebird by Miranda Lambert, because okay. That was my mom's favorite artist. My mom has passed on and gone, you know, elsewhere. And, I have a little bluebird that sits by my mom's photo, and I'm not going to cry, I promise. But every time I hear that song, I will cry in my car. It just gives me the chills.
Mac?
That's really sweet.
Thank you.
Mine is You Will Be Found. I don't know if you guys know Dear Evan Hansen. It's a fantastic musical.
John's brother.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
only ate half the Del Taco menu.
But it's basically like, you know, even when the dark comes crashing through, you will be found. Everything's going to be good. It gets me going. It's really good.
You know what another one that gives me chills is, and this is going to sound really weird, the Feather song from Forrest Gump. You know, the beginning interlude, the beginning song of Forrest Gump. I love that song.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
For the text line, another one, Miranda Lambert, Mama's Broken Heart. First wife was just like her in the song. Yikes.
Mm.
That's what the text said. Baby, It's Cold Outside, Frosty the Snowman.
We're not allowed to do Baby, It's Cold Outside anymore. When that song canceled a few years ago.
Yep. And then John Legend did like a new version of it. It sucks.
Does it really?
Not a huge fan.
I like John Legend.
Brett Veachtown.
That's a good one. Good call.
Great
Very good one. Thank you for texting in, Brett. Appreciate
All
that.
All off.
Somebody said he saw Darius Rucker live and he sang Purple Rain. That would make Prince very upset because he said one thing he wishes that nobody would ever like redo his music. Brothers Osborne, Pushing Up Daisies, Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead. Great song.
Even Thanks, Matt Q, for texting in that one.
Even though they hate that song because it was like a mainstream song.
That's the one that drives me nuts. Bands that hate their good songs because everybody likes them.
The Dance by Garth Brooks.
That's a good one, too.
Tough one. Damn, Dusty, listen to some Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, you should.
Landslide, Stevie Nicks.
Oh, good one.
Mandolin Rain, Bruce Hornsby.
Great
love
song.
It. Love that song. Eye of the Tiger. If we can do WAP, we can do Baby, It's Cold Outside. Oh, boy.
That's good.
Waiting on a Sunny Day, Bruce Springsteen. Check it out
sometime.
Another
good song, too.
You'll love it.
That whole album, The Rising, is great.
Oh, yeah, dude. Meet Me at Mary's Place, The Nothing Man,
yeah.
The Rising, all great. Dirty Diana, Michael Jackson, Aubrey by Bread, Start Me Up, The Stones. Anything from Cody Tapp makes me cry every time.
Ooh, Mary, Did You Know? That's a good one.
That's a good Christmas song.
That's a very good Christmas
song. Another
one
that kind of gives me the feels, not the chills, is To the Ends of the Earth by Laura Chiron. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that band. Ends of the Earth, great one there. Live Like You Were Dying, Tim McGraw. Fix You by Coldplay, also about for their dad. So music is interesting, isn't it?
It really
brings
is.
You together.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of like reflects on it. Like music has no age.
It sets a mood. It gives you the feels. It like makes your other senses kick in as well.
Dusty Likens has texted into the text line. How does Mac know all this music but no movies?
That's why my family's more music. I don't know.
No, I get it. Do you have a vinyl player?
No, we used to. I don't know if we do. My dad may have it still.
I got a buddy that's looking for a specific vinyl player, by the way.
Player?
Yeah, like a record player, but like a specific one.
That's tough.
Let me see which one it is before I lie about it here. We're looking for a Technics 1200 turntable.
Tell him to go to Facebook Marketplace.
He has, and had a guy, and then like no-showed, you know?
Ah, that stinks. All right. Well, that's all.
So I'm going to the text line marketplace.
Yeah, that's right. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Coming up on the other side, we will get to a topic we led the show with. I'll explain why I think we have solidification of the rest of the year in the NFL. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is the home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6.5 The Fan.